الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, everyone is aware of the condition of the Muslim world today and the Muslim lands and all focus, whether it be the believers, whether it be the disbelievers, everything is towards Palestine, Sham, Syria. And when we hear of what's happening, then it pains us, it hurts us, and it's natural, and it is the requisite of a person's iman that he should be pained. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in one hadith, al-muslimuna ka rajulin wahidin, that the Muslims are like one person. In ishtaka ainuhu, ishtaka kulluhu, that if the eye has to pain, then the whole body will feel the pain. Wa in ishtaka ra'suhu, ishtaka kulluhu, that if the head has to pain, then the whole body will feel the pain. Rawahu Muslim. So it is natural that a person will feel pain. But this is a jihad that is taking place to protect the Muslim lands. There is a more serious jihad that is taking place, and that is the jihad between iman and kufr, where day in and day out the Muslims are being attacked by the kuffar. The kuffar are going all out in trying to take away the iman of the Muslims. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. In 2007, the RAND Institute of America, who normally gives advice to the Pentagon, they had issued some guidelines of who a Muslim should be. They are not Muslims, but they are issuing a guidelines who a Muslim should be, who is a Muslim that we can work with. And they categorize a Muslim, a staunch Muslim, is someone we can't work with. He's a fundamentalist, he's a threat to us. And then they want a Muslim who he can be a Muslim by name. He can wear the clothing of a Muslim, but he must not think like a Muslim. And they even mention that this war is not only a war of weapons, is a war of ideologies and a war of mentality and how the people think. In the words of Mullah Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah, Zihni irtidad. It's called a person is a kafir in his thinking. He'll have a Muslim name. He'll wear the Muslim garb. He'll wear the Muslim clothing. He will do everything what a Muslim is supposed to be doing. But he's thinking like a kafir. So Allah says, وَلَن تَرْضَى. Allah uses the emphasis that they will never be happy. The Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians will never be happy. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow the millat. Yeah, the word deen is not used. The word millat is used. Again, it's an ideology. Millat means an ideology and a thinking. Our Kabir and our Buzurgani Deen in India, when the British had come into India, they were working on changing the ideology of the people. They wanted to take away the value system of Islam. And our Kabir and our pious had even given their lives just to protect this iman of the people. So how worried are we getting about this jihad? That is a jihad and a fight between iman and kufr. Why? Because iman is the most precious thing that we can have. You will only understand this. We'll only understand the value of this iman once his eyes closes. Allah speaks about it in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِلُّ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبَ وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. That those people who die upon kufr, Allah protect us. That if they try to ransom themselves from the punishment of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, they can give the whole world full of gold and silver. They'll never be able to protect themselves. They'll never be able to save themselves and ransom themselves from the punishment of Allah. In another place, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعْهُ. That if you have the whole world and double that, they'll still never be able to ransom themselves from the punishment of Allah. In another place, Allah says, وَإِن تَعْدِلْ كُلَّ عَدْلٍ. They can give anything they want. So this iman is a very, 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 very important ni'mat and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we gauge how good is our iman? How do you know how strong is our iman? That too Allah ta'ala shows us in the Quran. I recited a verse in the beginning. Allah says in the 26th juz, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. That who are the true believers? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They brought iman on Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And they have no doubts in what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. What is the state of our conviction in the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We all know the famous incident. Allama Suyuti rahimahullah in Durrul Mansur has mentioned this incident, and many other kutub have mentioned this. He had mentioned this incident when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba were on an expedition. On their return from the expedition, they stopped at one place. And they were resting. Nabi was alone, Sahaba on, and they were in a different place. And this kafir and this disbeliever comes. The sword of Nabi is hanging. He grabs hold of the sword of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَن يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي. Who is going to save you today? Without any doubt, the Nabi of Allah says, Allah. Three times he said it. With what conviction Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this man started shaking. He drops the sword. Nabi sallallahu alayhi picks it up. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi asks him, مَن يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي. He replies, أَنْتَ خَيْرُ آخِذٍ. I have hope that the person who has captured me now is a good person. You'll be good to me. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba, leave him alone. But with what conviction Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this? Knowing full well that Allah is with him. Yes, this world is a place of means. We have to use the means. And Shariat is not against us using the means. But Shariat also tells us that do not have trust on the means. Allah shows us day in and day out. A person is a very good doctor. Everyone is praising him. That at his hands Allah gives shifa. But we find one person going to him. Everything turns out good. Another person goes by him and shifa doesn't come. Why? Because shifa is not in his hand. Day in and day out Allah is showing us. You are allowed to use the means, but you cannot have trust on the means. Our conviction has to be in Allah, that everything is taking place with the power of Allah. We all know the other famous incident. Man istatlaqa batnuhu, that sahabi who had a diarrhea, and his brother comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brother has got this diarrhea. Nabi sallam says that he must take honey. He continues for some time, he comes back, Ya Rasulullah is increasing. Nabi sallam send him back, then he must continue. It happened for a few times. And then he comes back to Nabi sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah is not stopping. What did Nabi sallam say? Sadaqallahu wa kadhaba batnu akhik. That Allah has spoken the truth when he said the shifa in that honey. And the stomach of your brother has spoken a lie. That means you have not taken enough. You need to continue. Certain time you go into a doctor. And doctor tells you to take a certain medication. Then you after some time, you come to him. He says, no, you need to continue. After a few times, you getting fed up. What is wrong? Nothing's happening. He said, no, you need to continue. You need to have some patience. But man is wakana al-insan wa ajula. Man is very hasty. He wants immediate results. So here Nabi Sallam told him, you continue. Allah, you need to have trust in the words of Allah. Hayatul Sahaba has got an incident of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had to go for some work out of Madinatul Munawwara. He goes into the outskirts. He gets very, very sick. So some other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum come to meet him. And they tell him, what are you doing here in the outskirts? Why don't you make some effort and come back to Madinatul Munawwara? If you have to pass away, at least you'll pass away in Madinatul Munawwara. He says, you've got nothing to worry about. I'm not going to pass away. Nabi Sallam already told me I will become a Khalifa. I haven't become a Khalifa as yet. The words of Nabi Sallam can never be wrong. And Nabi Sallam has also made indication that I will pass away in Kufa. I'm not in Kufa. I can't pass away now. This was the conviction the Sahaba Ranum had on the words of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One pious person mentions, look at our conviction. The West will tell us that we must pick up our pants above our knees, be prepared to do that. The Nabi of Allah told us, pick up your pants above your ankles, be not prepared to do that. Where's our conviction on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Leave alone the believers, the disbelievers had such conviction on the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ruhul Ma'ani has mentioned an incident about Abu Lahab and his sons. The two sons, Utba and Utaybah, they were married to the daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab was revealed, Abu Lahab goes to his sons and he tells his sons that you need to divorce the daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Utba was a little bit respectful. He gave the divorce, he never came in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Utaybah was so disrespectful, he came in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spat in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he gave the divorce. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so upset, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kilabik. O Allah, make one of your wild animals devour him and kill him. His father is taking him on a journey. They are going to Syria. They're going on a journey. And on the way, they had to stop in the jungles. The father knowing in the back of the mind, knowing about the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells everyone in the caravan, please, my son will sleep in the middle. You will make a pile. He will sleep right on the top. Everyone must sleep around him so that no animal can come into the compound. And they all do that. He's a kafir. He's one of the biggest enemies of Islam. But in the bottom of his heart, he knows that this is the words of Nabi Islam. It can't be wrong. In the middle of the night, a lion comes. Allah sends a lion. The lion comes and kills him and leaves him. But this is a kafir, a disbeliever. And this is a conviction on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this iman is no small thing. We have to protect this iman. Now how do we protect this iman? Allah says us many times in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. So many different places. And then after Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to protect this iman, you need to have taqwa. What is taqwa? In the words of Tafsir Ibn, in the words of Tafsir Kabir, he says, Allah yaraka mulaka haythu ma nahaka. Your mullah must not see you doing anything that you're not supposed to be doing. Your mullah, meaning Allah must not see you doing anything what you're not supposed to be doing. That is taqwa. Today there's no consciousness. A person will be reading his salah, but he's violating people's rights and he feels nothing about it. He'll be going for nafil umrahs, and he won't be paying people's debts, he'll feel nothing about it. So there's no consciousness to it. There's no consciousness to it. If you want to protect our iman, then you need to bring taqwa in our lives. But how do you get this taqwa? Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya. One ayat, Allah says, just watch what you're eating. Halal sustenance, what we are eating, and what we're feeding our children. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu salihah. There's a great link between what we eat and the amal that is going to come out. The actions that are going to come out. We eat haram, then it's going to lead to haram actions. We eat halal, it's going to lead to good actions. So there's one eye. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Oh, those who have brought iman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak what you're supposed to speak. Speak correctly. Many a times we say things from our tongue and we lose our iman, we don't even realize it. If a person is not following any of the commands of Allah due to his weakness, never ever legalize what we are doing. Never ever say it's correct. Once you see something that is haram, you see it's correct, you lost your iman. But accept that it is wrong what you are doing and make tawbah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third verse, Allah Ta'ala says, you're going to protect your iman. Have taqwa and you're going to protect that taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Sit in good company. Very, very, very important. Sit in the company of those people. So when you sit in their company, they remind you of Allah. When you sit in their company, they remind you about the akhirat. When you sit in their company, they remind you about what are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important point is the maktab system. It's very, very important that our children must go to maktab. They're going to the schools. But it's very important to protect the iman, they must go to the maktab. They may be going to Muslim schools, where they may be teaching him some Islamic studies, but the main focus is secular education. They must go into that environment of the madrasa. When they will go in that environment of the madrasa, then the benefit will be that the iman will be protected, the aqidah will be protected, the beliefs will be protected, the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be created, the love for the laws and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallam will be created. And if they have any objections in their mind about Islam, then it will be answered here in the madrasa. So that is also very, very good company. That is also part of good company. Also part of good company in our homes. We need to have some ta'aleem. We need to have some ta'aleem where the kitabs of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some masail are being read every day. And make the child read it. And show him the importance about it. And we should also, everyone should take part. In the house should take part in the ta'aleem. And lastly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O those who have brought iman, prepare for the akhirah. We need to teach our children that this dunya is not the main objective. The akhirah is the main objective. How many times we create, what a mindset we are creating of our children. The child will bring the madrasa report, you will see he never did anything good, we'll leave it one side. No problem. But if he did bad in school, then we'll reprimand him, we'll ground him, and we'll give him this punishment and that punishment. What a mindset are we creating? Are we creating a mindset that dunya is more important than deen? You will never hear of a parent who's taking school time and giving it to madrasa, but he will take madrasa time and give it to school. So this is the mindset we are creating. So we have to teach our children that this dunya is to make our preparation to protect our iman. Our main objective is the akhirah. We dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma thabbitna alal iman. Wa'amitna alal iman. Wahshuna yawm al-qiyamati man iman. Wa Allah keep us steadfast upon kamil iman. Take us from this world with kamil iman. Let us wake up on the day of qiyamah with kamil iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.